Called the City of Palm Coast Planning and Land Development Board Regulation Board Meeting of June 21st to order. Would everyone please rise and say pledge of allegiance?
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's call the roll. Irene?
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Lucas?
Here.
Mr. Dolney? Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Scully? Mr. Davis?
Here.
Mr. Lenhertz?
Here.
And Mr. Freeman is excused. We have a quorum, and Mr. Scully is just arriving, so... Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you very much. First order of business on our agenda this evening is the approval of the minutes of our April 19th meeting and our May 3rd and May 17th workshops. They're in tab number one. Does any member have any issues or changes to any of these minutes?
I make a motion we approve the minutes.
Second.
Approve and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Item number two on the agenda is a request for a special exception to allow a tattooing, body piercing, and other body art at 160 Cypress Point Parkway, Unit A203. Mr. Tyner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ray Tyner, Planning Manager for the Planning Division. Ida will have the staff presentation. This is an approval that we're recommending for a special exception. And just for those in the public is basically what a special exception is. It's a land use that's not similar in nature to the use permitted in the district for which the applicant has made, but which is desired in the community with appropriate controls where suitable locations available. Our land development code has specific uses that may fall in to this special use category. Not that they're not allowed in that district, but it's bringing that use to the planning board to make a final determination if that use is allowable within that zoning district. The planning board can put some special conditions if deemed appropriate. Some examples would be, not really in this case, we don't believe, but, like if you have a dog kennel next to residential, sometimes it would be a special exception, and you may want to put hours of operation of, dogs being outside only during daylight hours and at night hours and those type of things. But basically, the special exception follows our analysis of our land development code, and Ida Meehan, senior planner, will have the staff report for the special exception and our recommendation.
Thank you. Ida?
Good evening. I'm here to present the special exception request for Elite Custom Tattooing Studio. It's referred to as application 3322. As Ray mentioned, Chapter 3 of the Land Development Code allows tattoo-related uses on property zoned Commercial 2 with a special exception. Special exceptions are governed by Chapter 2 in our Land Development Code. They are uses that may not be appropriate within a zoning district, but if subject to appropriate limitations, conditions, and safeguard, could promote the public health, safety, and welfare. The special exception approval criteria is basically that it's consistent with our land development code and compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. That's an appropriate location. In terms of the location, the applicant, Danielle Murin, she's applied to operate this use at 160 Cypress Point Parkway, Unit A203. That location is commonly referred by most of us as City Marketplace. City Marketplace has four two-story buildings. It's commonly known as an office commercial condominium complex. It's within a large mixed-use corridor stretching from Interstate 95 to Belterre Parkway, and it's largely built out. The future land use of this location is mixed use. And the zoning of this location is commercial too. You may remember that the super car wash is further west on Cypress Point Parkway, but this is largely a commercial zoning district. In terms of the property characteristics and access of this location, it has two access points off Cypress Point Parkway and Cypress Edge. Again, it's four large two-story buildings. I believe one of the building B is actually three stories in part. That's where the city offices were. The applicant, Danielle Murren, has applied again for building A, which is 37,000 square feet. It's
1,156 square feet.
That's her unit, but
yeah.
The whole entire building is 37,000, correct. City Marketplace, you know, has that large internal parking area, and there are a number of notable uses there. The Arts Foundation, the satellite office for the sheriff. I think Domino's Pizza has a training school there now. Dominic's Deli, all sorts of a mix of uses predominate there. Again, this is a picture of Building A, and the unit is toward the access point off Cypress Point Parkway.
Is it on the first floor or the second floor?
Second floor.
So they'd have to walk those stairs.
Right.
There's an elevator.
Sybil?
There's an elevator.
Oh, okay.
And I think we could all agree that City Marketplace has a little bit of a unique design. Staff is recommending this special exception. We find that it's not in conflict with the public interest and it's consistent with the comprehensive plan, that there'd be no significant financial hardship imposed for the city, that it's a licensed, it'll be a licensed facility, and that the location is very appropriate. It's a compliant site plan that meets all the city's requirements. Further, it's compatible with the surrounding mix of uses, has existing infrastructure. It will make productive use of a vacant tenant space now. I don't know, we lost our screen. And it'll bring a new business to this community. The applicant has sent out the required notification, and staff is not aware of any concerns or comments as of this time. So the applicant is here should you have additional questions.
Great. Would the applicant like to make a presentation? You don't have to, but you're welcome to.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Danielle Murren, applicant for 3322. Back in November, there was another tattoo shop that was approved by the board. They currently have not opened in Palm Coast. So right now there is only one tattoo shop in the city of Palm Coast. We're hoping to provide a clean, comfortable, sterile environment to give the Palm Coast citizens another option. It's going to have a nice upscale art gallery feel, something different than what you would think of as a tattoo shop. The taboo with motorcycle gangs and things like that. We're trying to move into something a little more upscale. The three artists that we're going to start with opening, all of them are licensed in the state of Florida and up to date on their licenses, and combined all have almost 40 years experience in tattooing. That's all I'd like to say.
Great, thank you. We're going to take it back to the board for questions for either Ida with the applicant. Sybil, we'll start with you.
Are there any health concerns or regulations involving that? I'm not aware of what is required in a tattoo shop, but are there inspections that go on a regular basis by the city, or standards that have to be met periodically?
Or
the applicant may be better to, I know they do, but you may want to elaborate on everything you need to go through to get this.
License.
So come on up here to the microphone.
So we can hear you.
All of the artists working in our shop will be required to have their licenses. As I said, the three that we're starting off with all already do in the state of Florida. We are required before we open to have the health department come in, make sure we have the proper receptacles for all of any kind of waste or anything like that. So we will have that approval from the health department before we are required or allowed to open.
And do body piercings take place as well?
At this time, we will not be doing any body piercing. So any of the requirements for that is strictly going to be tattooing body art.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there periodic health department inspections?
They can come in, so we will be keeping up to date on all of that.
Then, of course, they would walk in, and there they were.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Any question? More questions?
No further.
Not for me.
No. Mr. Davis.
In other words, we are only applying for a tattoo and artist.
Yes, there will be no body piercings.
By no body piercing?
No.
Yeah, however, this approval would allow you to do that in the future.
Right. We would have to get more, required to get more things from the health, through the health department.
Oh, okay.
For the body piercings, sterilization equipment, more sinks, things like that.
Okay.
It's a different type
of... So you're not equipped for body piercing?
Right.
Okay, great. Glenn,
then are we just going to approve the tattooing and eliminate the body piercing because they're not, or is it just going to be a blank thing that they can bring it in any time?
Well, how does it read in the Land Development Code now? All three of these are together?
Yes. We only have one description of this use, and it's...
Three of them?
Yes.
Go ahead.
To do the body piercings, like you said, if the health department were to come in and we were doing body piercings without them coming in and checking beforehand,
yeah,
then we could get cited. Yeah.
Yeah. The LDC defines that exception as all three of those things going on.
Right.
To take one out for one applicant would become unruly, I would think. But in as much as it goes, there's another body, the health department, who is required. I don't really have a concern about it. But nothing. We approved one recently, right? 6 months or so ago?
Yes.
Is it relatively in the same general area of...
Yes. The other special exception was on Pine Cone Drive, more across from Superwash. For lack of a...
Okay.
It was also internal in a professional office building.
Okay.
And I don't think we have any indication that they're moving forward.
Yeah,
right?
We don't
and,
have any.
And there it might have been more than 6 months, and then the special exception expires if they're not in that establishment. So I don't know how long they have to go.
Oh, they have not opened yet?
No, they have not opened.
There's no intention of them opening.
Okay.
To our knowledge.
But you said there is one in Palm Coast now?
Currently, there's only one. It's off of Palm Coast Parkway in the two-story complex with the Hot Yoga and the Awaza. It's devoted tattoo
okay,
studio.
Okay, and we probably approved that at some point in the past?
We approved one a long time ago.
Okay, great.
That's the one that's in next to Wells Fargo. It's in that two-story section.
Yep. Okay, so thank you. We would bring it now open the agenda to the public. If anybody from the public has any comments or concerns, they're welcome to approach the podium. Please give us your name and address. Seeing nobody approaching the podium, we'll close the public section of the agenda. Thank you. Bring it back to the board for further discussion. Anybody have a discussion you'd like to talk about? If not, I'd be happy to hear a meeting.
Just one clarification. So at such time as they expand to body piercing or other types of services, they would not have to come back to us. They would simply have to go for the, make sure that they met the health department's requirements.
Exactly.
To initiate those other functions.
Exactly.
Health and state licensing.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of application 3322.
Okay, I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. You want to call the roll, Irene?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhertz?
Yes.
Mr. Scully?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Excellent. Congratulations.
And if y'all, if you like, if you wanted to wait after the meeting, we will get the development order signed, and you can get a copy to take home with you if you want to.
Hey.
Or we can just send it to you.
Item number three is rezoning of 3.02 plus or minus acres at 149 Lakeview Boulevard from multifamily residential, MFR1, to single-family residential, SFR2. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another one of those rezonings that you have been seeing lately up in our Matanzas area. As you know, the background of some of the rezonings that have taken place during our citywide rezoning in 2004, the county had a zoning classification that had a process that allowed both residential and multifamily. So when we did the citywide rezoning, at the time, a lot of the owners opted to stay and wanted to stay with the multifamily. So, as you know, staff from a planning perspective and through the direction of our city council want us to try to work with property owners to try to, some would call, downzone the property from multifamily to single family to be more consistent with the neighborhood. We've had a lot of opposition in the past as far as the multifamily projects going forward on similar parcels as these. So the applicant, along with the city of Palm Coast, are in agreement of rezoning this property from multifamily to single family, which is very consistent with the surrounding area. It is, you know, it's almost a partnership or city initiated rezoning on this one, and Ida has some of the details of the presentation, and we are recommending approval for you tonight. So, Ida, if you can give the details.
Again, this is a rezoning request from MFR multifamily 1 to single family residential to, it's referred to as 149 Lakeview Boulevard or application 3321. In terms of the location, this is northern Palm Coast. Just to kind of give you a general feel for it, it's north of Matanzas Woods Parkway. It's west of IH-35, it's east of US-1, and it's south of the golf course. The subject property is owned by M&M Color Painting. Maria Mashova, she's here tonight. Again, it's generally located west of Lakeview Boulevard, east of Lewis Drive, south of Lewis Shire Place, and north of Lewiston Place. The highlighted parcel is a subject tract. It's 3.02 acres. The future land use of the property is residential. The current zoning of the property is multifamily residential 1 that allows a density of up to 8 units per acre. The subject tract is vacant at this time. The proposed zoning and the staff recommendation done in careful coordination with the applicant is proposed single-family residential 2, as can be seen from the zoning, the proposed zoning map. It is compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. There was a neighborhood information meeting. Staff sent out about 80 notices to meet the notification requirement. We held the neighborhood meeting on June 12th. 7 persons attended. Some are here tonight. Staff isn't aware of any adverse. Most of the inquiries were for information, but again, representatives from that meeting are here tonight so they can share their thoughts with you. The subject tract has two frontages. One is on Lakeview Boulevard at the bend, so to speak, and the other frontage is on Lewis Drive. That's an internal residential street. This shows a simple comparison between the two zoning districts, the existing and the proposed. The major differences are that the multifamily residential 1 zoning district has a much smaller minimum living area, 650 square feet versus the citywide minimum of 1,200 square feet for residential. The multifamily zoning has a maximum of 50 feet height versus the 35 feet for single-family residential. And the density for the theoretical density for multifamily 1 is higher at 8 dwelling units per acre as compared to the 4 to 5 dwelling units per acre that could be achieved with SFR2 if there were no development constraints. If there is and when the development occurs on the property, following issues would have to be addressed. If the wetland is impacted, which is in the center portion of the property, that would have to be addressed through permitting. The access would be determined at permitting. Utility extension, especially for the easternmost side of the property, that would be addressed. And there are 2 ditches that actually feed into the city's drainage system that would the city would likely request easements for those. And again, that is a more specific level of detail that would be done at permitting.
Ida, can you go back?
Yeah.
I just want to elaborate a little bit, if you don't mind, just add to your presentation. You know, we were meeting with the applicant, and, you know, realistically, of what could be done as far as residential on the property. If you look, we don't have iAnnotate working. That's why I went over to Irene earlier. But if you look on your left-hand side of the screen where it says 1, that's probably where you can have a single-family home. Maybe 2. And what the owner of the property, through our discussion, was most likely have somebody, you know, who's interested in the big lot to have 1 house. It's going to be very difficult to impact the wetland system. The driveway will have to come off Lewis Drive. We will not permit any driveways off the major road where you see track number 2. So I just want to elaborate on that. Even though the last slide showed your maximum densities, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the maximum densities. So, and realistically, you probably could get a house on here with a driveway, maybe 2 at the most. And that way, you know, you're kind of buffered away from the neighbors too. The wetland's a good buffer for lot 1 and for lot 6 to the north.
Just give clarification. What you're saying then is lot 1 would access that property from Lewis Drive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that dotted line that's a rectangle plus a tail on it would be the extent of the property that's developable developable?
Yes, yes.
That's a word?
Yes.
And lot number two, how would you access that property?
You couldn't.
Did you just say that you can't?
You cannot access to unless you actually do some major wetland impacts with a driveway, and the cost prohibited aspect of that, of doing one or two units, is you're not going to be able to do
so
it.
Lot number two would not be buildable at all?
Most likely. We don't like to say not buildable, but unlikely. Very unlikely.
Okay. So in net effect, what we're thinking here is that there's only going to be one building?
Yes. You know, possibly more than that, maybe two at the most. But once you split the lot, even with two lots, now you're talking a formal plat, subdivision, and, you know, three, you're talking a full plat, engineering cost, stormwater. So, you know, really, and they can speak too when they get up here, the owners and the owner rep. But, you know, if you have, you know, the market, they've had folks inquire before about someone wanting one house with a big yard, you know, a lot of land, you know, and that's more marketable at this time of day instead of multifamily. And it's something that our council, and we know the citizens there, would much rather have a residential than multifamily.
So that piece of property that's touching Lewis Shire Place?
Go back.
At the end of that cul-de-sac? That's drainage?
That's drainage.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a drainage ditch.
So that can't be a driveway?
That's correct.
Yep. But okay. It's not in an easement, but it's used as a drainage ditch. So in your staff report, the criteria for rezoning is identified. I'll just briefly touch on some key points. We find that it's not in conflict or contrary to the public interest, and in fact, we find that it will enhance the compatibility of uses in the neighborhood and be more harmonious, that it is consistent with the LDC and the comprehensive plan, and we specifically have a goal of avoiding potential intrusive land uses as part of our comprehensive plan. The infrastructure, of course, is nearby and will be reviewed at permitting. The site is designated residential on the future land use map, which allows the less intensive zoning, which is the SFR2, the single family residential 2 that we're speaking of, and that any development will have to comply with the Unified Land Development Code, the comprehensive plan, and any other additional applicable agency requirements. Therefore, the planning staff recommendation is that the Planning Land Development Regulation Board find the request consistent with the Unified Land Development Code and the city's comprehensive plan, and that you recommend to the City Council approval of application 3321, the rezoning of 149 Lakeview Boulevard from multifamily residential 1 to single family residential 2.
So because this is a rezoning, it has to go to the City Council?
Yes, sir.
And just, again, for the public, these would be the two City Council public hearing dates, July 17th at 9 a.m. and August 1st at 6:30 p.m. The property owners here, as I recognize several people from the neighborhood meeting. So
would the applicant like to make a presentation? Or have anything to say?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, great. So we'll bring it back to the board. Any questions from the board? We'll start with you, Sybil.
What would be the upside for someone having that large a parcel if they could only build one house on it? What else could be done with all of that land?
We've had plenty of inquiries that come into the city of Palm Coast of folks wanting a large lot. People like land. They may want to have not be a quarter acre lot, but maybe want to have 3 or 4 acres.
But I'm curious because I know people who bought in Palm Coast early on, mm-hmm. and who were able to buy 2 and 3 lots. And at this juncture, it's just, you know, something that they have to mow all the time. But you can't do anything more with it. I mean, if you're going to, you can't grow trees on it. You can't, you can't put a commercial use to it.
This particular, some people like the nature. You have a nice wetland system there and some trees, and, you know, they may want a place where, you know, they have a lot of trees in their backyard.
New York City, we can't understand why.
Yeah. We also have a number of people that really desire the privacy that a lot like this, a situation like this could offer.
Not something we're used to, Sybil, is it?
It doesn't seem like it's buildable for any...
No, not with all the wetlands.
Purpose, yeah. With the wetlands right in the middle and no access elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you had, to be frank, if you had... That's what I'm saying, that most likely maybe one lot, maybe two. You know, multifamily is a different story. You know, if you're selling more units, you may be able to afford someday to take out the wetland system and try to do something in there, more than one unit. So I don't think the market's definitely, Clinton knows better than me, but the market's probably not there for a multifamily. It'd be very difficult nowadays, but who knows down the road. And it's, you know, we've already had folks come in and try to do multifamily and some of these type projects, so, or this zone property. So we're just kind of happy it's going to residential.
Sybil, do you have any other questions?
No, that was just...
Okay.
Pete?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No?
No.
Now, Pete?
No, sir.
What? No. We'll open it up to the public hearing portion. If anyone would like to speak on this proposal, either for or against, you're welcome to approach the podium. Please give us your name and your address for the record. Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion of the meeting, bring it back to the board for discussion or motion.
Is this just going to be one lot?
I don't think they know.
The property's being rezoned to single family. So, as I stated, sounds like one lot. They may be able to get two lots.
Wow.
The property's being zoned for multifamily.
We're going to have one lot.
Don't know. It's going to be zoned. Right now we have one lot. But the property is going to be rezoned from multifamily that allows 8 units per acre, a bigger density. This is somewhat what people would refer to as downzoning, okay, to what they can do now. So the property owner is willing to downzone the property to a lower intensity. And, you know, the maximum units on 5 acres would be how much, Ida, from a theoretical...
Well, I mean, it's 8 units per acre for multifamily, so that's 24 units. But in reality, a lot split, 2 units, single
maybe
family
two
residential.
Lots.
But the answer to the question is, it's one. Right now, it's one lot, and the question is whether we zone it, leave it zoned MFR1, or we change it to SFR2.
It's, right. It's 3.02 acres.
Right.
Never been platted.
My other question was on page 5, down at the bottom where it says planning staff recommendation. This is the first time it's been brought before the Planning Land Development Board.
It's a paragraph that we see on the screen, too.
Yeah.
What's the question?
The question is, how can we have approved it if we've never seen it?
This is their recommendation to us. This is the staff's recommendation to the planning board, that we find the request consistent with the ULDC and a comprehensive plan and recommend it to the city council for approval. That's what the staff is recommending to us, to the board.
Okay, you read it one way, I'm reading it a different way.
I'm reading it as... I understand what you're saying about the wording of it. If you read it without the heading, you would think that that was the recommendation, but it's their recommendation that we recommend it. It's
right.
A little clumsy at the start of it there.
Well, it should have that they recommend it. We approve it.
Yeah, that's probably my fault, because typically we would say at the beginning of the paragraph, the planning staff recommends that the planning and land development, we took that out and we made the header planning staff recommendation.
On you.
Yeah, that's it. It's our recommendation to you.
Okay.
I need a motion.
I move to approve.
I second it.
Thank you. And a second from Mr. Lawrence. I guess we go roll call, please, Irene.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Lenhartz.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Very good. Now we're on to our last agenda item, which is the revision of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. Now, at our last meeting, we discussed planning board input to the staff for the various sections of the Unified Land Development Code. Irene, you sent an email. How'd you make out?
I did hear from Mr. Smith, who graciously volunteered for chapters 1 through 10. And then Mr. Scully and Mr. Lenhartz both volunteered for chapter 12. Today, we had a conversation, Mr. Jones, where you said you would take chapter 4 from Mr. Smith. So that leaves chapter 13, where no one has volunteered at this time, although you did say you would take any that...
I will take it if no one else wants it. But I'd like to give the other board members an opportunity if they would like to.
Agricultural design regulations.
Pardon me?
Architectural design regulations. Ms.
You know.
That's chapter 13, yes.
Is that design or design and dimensions and the whole nine yards?
Yeah, this would be your architectural guidelines, for the structures of the buildings, the materials for the buildings, colors, those type of things of the visual component.
Okay. Does it go to, but that doesn't go to minimum square foot or anything like that?
No.
Okay, right. No.
And it's interesting because... we didn't hear back from, maybe you can,
Chris,
because this was the chapter that Chris wanted us to kind of revisit for the industrial standards for architectural. So, but since he saw the chapter, I guess he didn't respond back. But.
Well, why don't we leave it open and ask you then to contact him?
I will.
And see if he's interested, because he might be the person to do that.
Okay.
Now, I feel a little bit badly for Clint. He's got 6 of these that he's agreed to do. If anybody who doesn't have one would like to take one from Clint, I'm sure he'd be willing to give one up. I'm going to take up chapter 4.
I'm willing to take 12.
And you're going to take...
I'll take 12 rather than 13. Yeah.
12. Well, 12 is the one that Scully, Jake, and Pete have.
Oh, okay. All right, then. 13.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Jake and Pete for 12?
They both volunteered.
Okay, well, we can only have one. Because we'll have to notice. It's not a public meeting, okay. And you two...
So, let's...
Clint has a lot, Mr. Smith.
If Clint, if Sybil and or Pete and Jake would be willing to volunteer to take one of Clint's, we should be home free.
I just like 12 because it was the most interesting discussion that came across.
You wanted Cliff, you wanted...
Pete,
I'm sorry.
With your background lends itself...
So Pete's going to stay on 12?
Fine.
Yeah, I can move to something else.
Is it possible for me to take number 4 from Clint?
You want 4, Sybil?
Yes, I'll take 4.
You can have that.
Okay.
Don't feel bad for me because I am the current vice chairman of FCARD, which has agreed to participate in all these. So I would be attending them
anyway,
no matter what. But I obviously can't if another member goes. So
right.
Don't worry about how many have my name on them. But you guys pick what you want, and I'll take whatever's left over.
Okay. I'm confused, Clint. If one of us takes one of these chapters, then you cannot attend that meeting?
Correct. Then you can't have two board members at the right. meeting because then it has to be an advertised meeting. So if somebody else wants to take one, then that's fine. But I'll back off on that one.
Well, we've already got you off the hook on number 4. Right. Sybil's going to take that. We're going to... Mr. Tyner is going to check with Chris about Chapter 13.
And if Chris doesn't do 13, anybody else will plug in there?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
Who ended up with 12?
And Jack. Pete Lawrence is going to take 12.
Jake.
For 12.
Oh, Jake is. I'm 12. Sorry. Pete, you've got nothing, huh? Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay. You have any druthers?
Something reading through them here.
And just for clarity, just, you know, we will combine Chapter 1 and 2. That those go the same. Chapter 1 is like 3 pages, so. 4 pages.
Does anyone, excuse me, have any questions regarding the noticing if more than one of you attend, or are you all clear on that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, they're clear. We're just going to have one.
The only one that I feel that I would be qualified for would be Chapter 12, Signs and Advertising. Because of my traffic engineering background.
Well, you just did one, didn't you? Just do the traffic.
I just did the one, the first one.
And Glenn, you'll still be involved with that one once we kind of finalize it.
Jake is going to do that one.
The one that you were working on. We're not done with it yet. So
we're not done yet. Okay.
Just when you thought you got out, they suck you back in.
Yeah, I was going on vacation.
Okay, so. We got them all covered for the exception of 13, which theoretically we do, because if it isn't Chris, it's going to be me. Okay. And the only other thought is if Pete, at your leisure, if you decide you want one of these things, just let Clint and Irene know.
I guess put me on 10.
Or let Irene know, yeah.
All right, 10. Fine. Then we'll change, we'll take, Clint, you get on vacation for Chapter 10, and we'll put Pete on that.
Okay.
Okay.
On which one, Chapter 10?
Chapter 10, yes.
Oh, environmental.
Yeah, that's one I really wanted to sit in on.
That figures.
All right, I'll find something else.
Unless you have a burning desire, that's one I have an interest in.
But what's one you don't have a burning desire?
1 and 2. Because quite frankly, they're boring.
You're really selling it, Clint. Wait,
I'm sorry. They'll also go quickly, I bet.
I'll take 1 and 2 from you, just so you...
There you go. So we got Pete taking 1 and 2, Clint's got 3, Sybil's got 4, Clint's got 7, 9, 10, sorry. Jake's got 12, and 13 is either going to be Chris Dolny or me.
I'll call Chris. Sounds good. Do you have a question, Irene? Did you have a question?
I do have a question.
I guess it is.
But before we go to my question, Mr. Lenhertz, you no longer have 10? I thought you said you were
no.
Taking
10. He left 10. Clint keeps with 10.
Comes back
10.
To me.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Now, Glenn has a valid point. What happened to chapter Well, 5 and 6 we just did, right? What happened to Chapter 8?
8 is reserved.
There's nothing in it?
Nothing. So who wants to, you want to take that one?
You want to, absolutely.
And 11?
11 was landscaping, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, 11 was landscaping.
Last year.
We just did that.
Yeah.
Didn't we
just
do the architectural design? Didn't we have this big discussion about colors and stuff?
We did, yeah, we did have a modification to a small section in that code for color, house colors.
Yeah, boy, that was painful.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that, too. Okay. Motion to adjourn? No, not yet.
Sorry,
Irene.
My second part of the question was to clarify, I had one of the board members ask me, how would they be notified when their chapter's coming up for review?
We'll call you. We'll let you know in advance so you can schedule when we get ready to schedule for the workshops.
Anything else? Anybody?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn?
Second.
And seconded? All in favor?
Aye.